Taylor Johnson and Rick Leatherer singing there. Thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Glad to see you all here. As always, when we gather for worship, the sacrament of Holy Communion is offered as a central part. And because God is a gracious host and it is his table, you are all invited to come and have your faith fed and refreshed through the gifts God gives us at his table today. I encourage you to read the rest of the announcements in the words of the week, and a special welcome, I forgot, to anyone who's visiting with us today on this glorious Easter day. If you live in the area and are looking for a church to call your very own home, this would be the dysfunctional family for you, all right? But if you are traveling on this great holiday, we pray for safe travel and a joyful homecoming for you. Any other announcements need to be made? If not, please stand for the Thanksgiving for Baptism printed in your bulletin. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Alleluia! Just as God's work of creation never ends, so the gifts received in baptism are renewed every day. Let us give thanks together for the life given in baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery to freedom. At the river your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Our gathering hymn is number 365. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength, and honor and mercy and glory are His. This is a feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn of all creation. Blessing and honor and glory and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. This is a feast of victory for our God, for the Lamb who was slain has begun His reign.
Let us pray. God of mercy, we no longer look for Jesus among the dead, for He is alive and has become the Lord of life. Increase in our hearts and minds the risen life we share with Christ, and help us to grow as Your people toward the fullness of eternal life with You. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I would invite the children to come forward for the children's message. Well, you're welcome to come back anytime. Hi. Next spring break. Have a seat. We're already looking forward to it, Turner. Nobody else? Finley's here. I don't bite, I promise. Okay. Well, I don't think any of you, maybe Finley was here this Sunday. At the very beginning of Lent, I talked about the season of Lent, which we just finished, and I told the kids that the season of Lent is more of a somber, solemn, quiet kind of time when we think about the bad things that we've done in our lives, and we tell God that we're sorry for them. That's called repent, and we promise to change and live better. And I said that during the season of Lent, because it's kind of a solemn time, there's a special church word that's kind of a celebration word that we put away for the season. Were you here that Sunday? Nope. So you don't know what I'm talking about. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what word I'm talking about?
Easter.
No.
Good guess.
Easter Sunday is here. And because Easter Sunday is here, we can take the word that I hid for Lent out of hiding. What word was that, you think?
Hallelujah.
They knew. You want that? You can have that. You want one? Hallelujah. Do you know what hallelujah means? You know what the word hallelujah means? For today He is risen. He has risen. But hallelujah actually means praise ye the Lord. All right? So that reminds me of a song that I used to sing with the kids at Bible camp. And we're going to sing it with the congregation today. So stand up. All right, you probably know it then. So it goes like this. We're going to sing, Allelu, 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 Alleluia, and you sing, Praise ye the Lord. Allelu, 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 Alleluia,
Praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord, Alleluia,
Praise ye the Lord,
Alleluia,
Praise ye the Lord,
Alleluia,
Praise ye the Lord.
All right, we're all warmed up now. Here we go. Are you ready? Allelu, 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 Alleluia,
Praise ye the Lord.
Allelu, 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 Alleluia,
Praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord, Alleluia,
praise ye the Lord,
Alleluia,
praise ye the Lord,
Alleluia, praise ye the Lord. Wow, that was great. Let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for sending your Son to be our Savior and our Lord, and we thank you on this special Easter day that he is risen from the dead and has given each of us the gift of new life. Bless these children today and always, and keep them in your care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, kids. You can go be seated.
Thank you. Our first lesson comes from Acts 10. Peter crosses the immense religious and social boundary that separates Jews from Gentiles in order to proclaim the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, so that God's forgiveness in Jesus' name would reach out to the Gentiles just as it had to the Jews. Hear now the word. Peter began to speak to the people. I truly understand that God chose no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with them. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us, who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Holy wisdom, holy word. The psalm can be found on page 5 of your bulletin. We'll read it responsively. I'll begin with the light print. Give thanks to the Lord. The Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever. Let Israel now declare, God's mercy endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. Shouts of rejoicing and salvation echo in the tents of the righteous. And the Lord acts valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter. I give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. By the Lord has it been done. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our second lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The core of the Christian faith and Paul's preaching is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As the crucified and risen Christ appeared to the earliest of his followers, so we experience the presence of the risen Lord in the preaching of this faith. Hear now the word. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which also you are being saved. If you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of who are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. When is an ending not an end? That is the question Lamar Williamson asks about this passage in a commentary he has written on the Gospel of Mark. When is an ending not an end? He answers, when a dead man rises from the tomb and when a gospel ends in the middle of a sentence. What does he mean by that? Well, the oldest and most reliable Greek manuscripts of Mark's Gospel has the story end like this. The women went out from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. They said nothing to anyone they were afraid for. That's how it reads in the Greek. The sentence ends by not ending at all. It ends with a preposition, which would have gotten Mark an F in English composition, right? The most important story of the Christian faith just stops and the end just hangs out there, and we are left waiting and unresolved. Our English translation, of course, seeks to fix the problem in Scripture by moving that preposition. So what they came up with was, they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And while that might solve the problem with the sentence, it does nothing to solve the problem with the gospel. They said nothing to anyone? Really? That's the end? What about telling the disciples and Peter? What about seeing the risen Lord? You can't end the Easter story by saying they said nothing to anyone for they were afraid. Mark's ending could be just one of the worst endings in history. A resurrection scene where Jesus doesn't show up, and where no one tells anyone the good news. It's a terrible ending. And so I can certainly understand the urge to fix it. And so there were attempts to fix that story and to put it right. Several ancient versions of the gospel attempted to solve the problem by adding another ending. You will probably find those printed in your Bibles. One of them will say the shorter ending of Mark, followed by one that says the longer ending of Mark. But when you read those, you notice that the style of writing is so different and the content so weird that even in the English, you can tell they were added by another hand, by someone who wanted a more proper ending. Even way back then, some monk who was editing Mark's gospel was saying, We can't have this. We need a conclusion. We need to wrap this up so we can bring up the background music and roll the credits and let people leave feeling good. We can't have, they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And yet, at least in the short run, Mark is probably quite right. Of course, these friends of Jesus are afraid. Death is awful, especially a brutal and bloody execution that they saw. But at least we know what death is. We have experience with death. Oh, sure, death leaves us in deep pain, but at least we know what to do next. Death is tragic, but at least we can understand that someone we love is now gone. But this is something else entirely. Three grieving women come to the tomb in the early light of day to complete the cleaning, the anointing of the body of their loved one. They are preparing him for his long sleep in death. This is what you do next when someone dies. At the tomb, they meet a young man in a robe of white who tells them that their friend has risen from the dead and is going ahead of them to Galilee, back to where they all came from. Now, either they are hallucinating, or this young man is part of a conspiracy and has stolen the body, or this really is a divine messenger and something amazing as creation has just happened. But anyway, you look at it, these poor women are bound to be terrified. They said nothing to anyone. They were afraid for. Well, obviously, at some point they did, right? They told someone who told someone else who told someone else who told a whole bunch of people, because 30 or 40 years later, Mark is writing this gospel, and 2,000 years later, here we are reading it and believing it and sharing it. Mark's gospel opens with these words, "The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." And he then goes on to tell a remarkable story about a preacher and teacher who talks about God in a way that made people want to believe. About a man who, with a loving touch, made sick people feel better and crazy people calm down. About a man so filled with God's vision that he included women in his inner circle and ate with traitors and cheats, and who touched people who had the worst communicable disease of his day. The death of this good man was a terrible thing, and Mark spends most of his story telling about that. He tells how Jesus tried to prepare his friends, to explain that the only way to the life that death could not take away was for God's Messiah to die. Mark tells about conflicts Jesus had with the religious leaders who thought they already knew everything there was to know about God and about life and death. He tells about a meal where bread and wine take on a whole new meaning, about a time of agony and fear in a garden. And finally, he tells about pain and a cry of utter abandonment. And then the women come into the story on that early Easter morning. And just when we think the story is going to pick up and turn around for the better, they run away in fear. No wonder some editor tried to fix the story and tack on an ending that would make us feel better. The gospel has a beginning, he thought, so what it needs now is an ending, a definite conclusion, a so what, a where to next. But maybe, just maybe, that's the whole point. Maybe this story has no end, at least not yet. Perhaps this awkward sentence with a hanging preposition at the end is Mark's way of saying the story isn't over, because now it's your story, and now it's mine. Maybe this is like one of those plays where the audience gets to vote on how the play ends after a break in the action. Only in this case, the audience gets to live out the ending. St. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, "As in Adam all die, even so in Christ all will be made alive." Mark's audience believed that. They believed that because of Jesus, their lives had been completely transformed. In a world of despair, they had hope. Even though they were facing intense persecution and even execution for their faith, they remained confident. Because of Jesus, they knew that in life and in death, they belonged to God, and that nothing in life or death could ever separate them from the love that God had for them. The story of Jesus in Mark's gospel doesn't have an end, well, because it simply isn't over. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. A good man was put to death, but in his dying and rising, the power of God is now at work in this world, inviting men and women, children and young people, you and me, into new and transformed lives. But what do we do with these transformed lives that we have received through the grace of God? If you are one who believes that God has touched you and healed you and forgiven you and made you whole, what difference does that make in the way you are living out your lives in this world? In an era of unprecedented prosperity, children are still dying from hunger. How does your Easter faith call you to respond? In a nation of vast resources, young people are denied hope and a future, and many of them are terrified simply to go to school. What does that mean for us who live Easter lives? How does Easter shape our involvement in this world where so many suffer want and neglect? You see, this gospel, this good news, it cannot be confined to a moment in the past. Nor is it simply about hope in some far-off future, pie in the sky, by and by. For if Christ is alive, then he is among us, even now. He is in our world, saving people from a living death and offering life in all its fullness, and he is calling you and me as Easter people to participate in that ministry by following where he leads and by loving and serving the people he loves and serves. Mark's story has a beginning, but not an ending. It just keeps going from one life to another, touching and transforming us one by one by one. The risen Christ was not at the tomb, but was going on ahead of his friends. And that is where we see him today too, out ahead of us, where charity and love prevail over injustice and violence, where compassion and hope replace cynicism and fear, where peace and love take root in lives that are empty and lost, where human beings know joy and justice, dignity and delight. There is the risen Christ, and he is beckoning us to follow. When is an ending not an end? When the end is just the beginning. The beginning of a story about God's unveiling love, mercy, and grace. A story about a life that is eternal and abundant, lived in the presence of God and all his people. That is the journey. That is the life to which we have been called in our baptism. Christ is risen from the dead. He's alive and is going on ahead of us. All that remains to be seen is this. Will you and I have the courage, the faith, and the commitment as his people to follow where he leads? I hope and I pray that we do, for it is the way to life. Amen. Please stand as we sing together 369, Christ the Lord is risen today, Alleluia.